talking some college football from ESPN on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Chris Lowe. Chris, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, Chris, obviously, you know, when it comes to every sport right now, we're talking about the what-ifs. There's not a lot of sure things. There's a lot of what-ifs, and things seem to be trending in the right direction for football to come back, both pro and college. But there are more hoops to go through, really, on the college level than there is for pros because, you know, allegedly they're not professionals in college, although there's a lot of money in college football. How are you feeling about the way things stand in college football at the moment?
Yeah, the key word there is allegedly about the kids being not professionals.
I think
getting players back on campus, athletes back on campus, is a good step. Now, the key there is to do so safely. And every school having a plan to test and screen and keep them best they can anyway in a controlled environment. And I don't think it's so important to get them back on campus just so they can start working out again. But get everybody back and sort of assess where kids are physically, whether anybody has the virus, if they do, to get them the right treatment. And you're doing so with your medical personnel right there with you, team physicians, doctors, trainers, you know, everybody back together. So that's a good first step. But as you point out, we're still 3 months away from kicking it off. So a lot can change, yay and nay, in 3 months. And I hope it's yay. And I know everybody wants to know about fans and the stands and, you know, what happens if a kid gets, you know, tests positive the week of the game or a staff member. I think those are decisions and real-time decisions that we're not going to know, you know, until we get there. But, I mean, you're right, man. It's not going to be a cookie-cutter return for everybody around the country because every school, every state, every local government, they're all probably going to have different rules about how many can gather and how you can gather and you know, different mitigating factors.
Chris, you think we could have, like, let's say, Alabama Stadium full, but not have Southern California's stadium full because of the rules?
Oh, I think you're going to see wide discrepancies as far as crowd numbers around the country for different reasons. Some people, let's be honest, some people just aren't going to be comfortable in going to a place where there's thousands of fans and you're sitting right on top of each other, you know, in September and October. And then some governments, some schools will have rules in place. They're only going to have, you can only have this many people in a stadium. Or I was talking to a friend of mine who's an AD in an SEC school, and he says, I just right now can't imagine a scenario, at least to start, where if you're going to come, you got to wear a mask. And if you're not willing to wear a mask, then you can't come in the stadium. You know, so there's going to be all sorts of factors, all sorts of variables. But, yeah, I mean, I think we will see that. Ohio State, for instance, don't they play at Oregon? Was it the second week of the season? Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Oregon, and going back to my comment about a cookie-cutter return to college football, what Oregon is doing in September versus what they're doing in Ohio or Minnesota or South Carolina or Alabama may be, you know, apples to oranges. And so that's why I say I think we're going to see one way or the other, we're going to see a wide discrepancy in how many people are actually in the stands.
We're talking with Chris Lowe. We're talking college football on ESPN. Chris, in terms of, you know, preparation and the players in the offseason, I know, you know, earlier you talked about getting kids back on campus, not just for physical, but for, you know, checking for the virus and stuff like that. But from a physical standpoint, it's really interesting because unlike the NFL players or a Major League Baseball player, most of these guys are not going to have a home gym and things like that. And so you wonder what kind of shape these guys will be in.
Yeah, we're working on a piece at ESPN where we've reached out to players across the country in all conferences, not just Power Five kids, but kids in Group of Five leagues. And that's one of the questions we've asked them. What do you think, based on your experience, what's the minimum time will you need to get ready to play a football season? It's at minimum, they're saying 6 weeks. So you're talking about essentially half of July and half of and all of August, but some of them have said longer. And listen, the kids that I worry the most about, and I've talked to several team physicians and trainers around the country, are the bigger kids, the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen. What the kids that are 300, let's be honest, most of those guys now are 290, 280, 300, 300-plus pounds. What kind of shape are they in when they return? How long will it take them to get back into shape? Because they haven't been in a strength and conditioning off-season program like they have been in the past. Some of them will come back okay shape, some of them won't. And those are the kids I think it's going to be the hardest for. Plus, you know, the bigger you are, if you have any asthma-type problems, those are the kids that typically are more susceptible to getting the virus.
Do you think that, you know, maybe one conference or one team or a couple teams will have an advantage this season because of the time off and just their access, right, to facilities? And you know, let's face it, some schools got more money to spend and can get these guys, you know, better equipment, better everything, right?
Yeah, I think most of the Power Five schools are in the same boat. They've got, you know, I've been to very few Power Five schools. I haven't been to every single one of them, but I've been to a large majority of them, and they all have just unbelievable facilities and all the things that you need to get kids in shape, from nutritionists to training staff to weight, strength and conditioning staff. It's the group of five schools that I think are really going to struggle the most because they don't have, you know, in a lot of cases, they don't have the money, they don't have the resources, and they don't have the facilities that some of the bigger schools do. I've talked to a lot of coaches who sort of dismiss the notion that training, or I shouldn't say training camp, preseason camp needs to be extended. And in fact, I was talking to Nick Saban about this 2 weeks ago, and he says, listen, it wasn't too long ago when I was at LSU that you didn't really see the kids all summer, and they showed up late July, early August, and you got ready and you played. Now, granted, you can't practice as much now in August as you could back then. There's been restrictions on practices. But Saban's point was, get them on campus if we can in July, go through some OTA-type workouts that they do in the pros where you're in helmets and shorts, try to get them in shape that way, and then maybe have a regular preseason camp in August. And if you do that, then you have a pretty decent chance to play in September.
We're talking with Chris Lowe of ESPN. Chris, I was watching Get Up on ESPN earlier this morning, and Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets GM, said that if he were starting a team from scratch of any quarterback, pro or college, he would take Patrick Mahomes 1 and then Trevor Lawrence 2. You know, obviously age is a factor with some of the guys, but he said he'd take Trevor Lawrence over any other NFL quarterback. This guy is facing a ton of pressure going into the season. Obviously, he didn't play great in the national championship game. Do you think he will live up to the hype here in year 3?
You know, it's funny. It's almost like it was for Trevor coming off his freshman year when he carved Alabama apart.
Right.
In the championship game. And then he had a good year last year. He didn't have a great year, you know. I mean, I shouldn't say that. He didn't have a great championship game. Probably too much was expected of him. But that pressure is right back on him now. But, you know, I think he is so talented. And talking to people on that Clemson staff that I know for a long time, the way he goes about his business and the way he prepares and just his poise, I don't think the expectations and the things on the periphery are going to get to him. But he has everything it takes. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't have a big year. It hurts him, even as good as he is, to lose a target, a receiving target, as talented as Ross, who's going to miss the entire season. That would be a setback for any quarterback.
Yep.
But no, he's a great football player, and I think he will have a huge year.
How do you think the Buckeyes are going to be this year? Obviously, they're going to be good. We know that, but I mean, do they have a chance? You know, Justin Fields comes back again, but you lose, you know, your best pass rusher in Chase Young. You lose, you know, your top corner, right, in the draft. Top running back, of course. How do you think they're going to be? I know they picked up a transfer running back, but what are your thoughts?
Listen, I wouldn't feel too sorry for the Buckeyes. The way they've recruited, you know, under Urban, and then, of course, what Ryan has done is he's walked right in there and picked up. Yes, they did lose some good players, but I always look at, you know, the difference makers are, you know, the quarterback, guys up front on both lines of scrimmage, and guys who can cover in the secondary. And, you know, the Wade kid has a chance to be as good as anybody in the country at his position coming back this year. I mean, because of what they had last year in Okuda, maybe we forgot a little bit about him. And we saw what that did to Ohio State when they lost him you know, in the Clemson game. You know, he's a guy who can play a lot of different positions. Fields, I'll tell you what Ryan Day told me last preseason when I was up there about Fields. He said his skill set, that Fields' skill set was right there what he felt like Cam Newton's was when he was in college. Control it, can run it. You saw him really come into his own last year. And it, up front, you know, the offensive line, you got a couple guys who are going to play for a long time in the NFL. No, you don't have Chase Young going to get the quarterback, but I'd be very surprised if Ohio State's not in the playoff again. And, you know, things happen, injuries, that type of thing, but at least, at the very least, not swimming in those waters.
Chris, who is the biggest threat to them this year in the Big Ten, you think?
I think it's Penn State, and they play at Penn State this year.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they play Michigan State and Penn State in back-to-back weeks on the road, which is a tough stretch. And yeah. Penn State has been a tough game for them, especially there. I was there a few years ago when Penn State blocked the field goal and ran it back for a touchdown and beat them. That's a tough environment. I think Penn State's going to be awfully good as well. So I would say Penn State would probably be their toughest opposition in there in the Big Ten.
Chris, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, again, thanks for having me, guys. You guys take care. Let's catch up soon.
You
yes,
too.
Sir. Thanks,
Thank
Chris.
You. Chris Lowe of ESPN.